Well, good morning, everybody. Come on in and take a seat if you don't mind and pull out your bulletin. We have just a few announcements before I open with a congregational prayer. You know, when I used to teach journalism in high school, we would pull up country newspapers. And we'd always kind of chuckle about that, hey, Fred's cow got lost. Will somebody please report it to Fred or whatever? And we thought that was rather humorous. And but I got an announcement this morning. Rhonda has 4 dozen chicken eggs, all right? If you need 4 dozen, you need some chicken eggs, see Rhonda at $2 a dozen. I can't believe I just did that. So not only is it good for everybody who's here, but if you are on YouTube and you want those chicken eggs, you better leave now because they'll go fast. All right. So it's the beauty of a small country church is everybody knows everyone, and we have an opportunity to pray for everyone. When things come up, we can be personal, and that's what we do at 9:30 on every Sunday morning, is that we have congregational prayer. We share what is going on in our church with our church members, and we pray individually for people. And we do the same thing at on Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock to 9:30 for our morning devotionals, and you can catch that on Facebook as well. But it is a wonderful opportunity to be a part of a small body and actually experience what a body is all about. You experience the joys, you experience the sorrows in a personal way, as we know everyone. Okay, for way of announcement, we're going to be having a hog roast next week, and we're encouraging you to come on in and to make sure that you invite a friend and a neighbor. We're going to have a tent outside, and we're going to be trying to keep social distancing, and we're running a drive-through today with Linger Longer, so to kind of work out all the bugs. So if you're here, I encourage you to stay for some Linger Longer, and we'll be doing that. Also unique to this hog roast is we're going to be doing a pie auction, and it's going to be for Tijuana, and I have Frank here who's going to come up and explain in a little more detail.
Well, good morning again, folks. Thank you for giving me the opportunity once more, Dave. We are going to be having this fundraiser for Tijuana. As you know, we cannot make the trip because of all the issues that are going right now, and the border is still actually closed. But we'd still want to be able to support the ministry. We want to be able to have them be able to continue to do the things that they normally would do. You know, take the food to the people that need it, go in and provide for the orphanages, the old folks home, et cetera, everything else that they do still going on, and the need is still there. So just as a teaser, my wife has made some salsa, which is going to be part of the auction, okay? I do encourage you to bring money, because the last time she brought this one went for about $110. Talk to me, I'll give you a discount. But please, any items that you like to bring that are handmade. I think that last week I mentioned there was a gentleman that in the past had donated a longbow that he had made. That'd be excellent if we could have something along those lines. Quilts we have had in the past. Of course, pies. Who doesn't love pie? And we do have the boxes. If you would like to be able to just bring the pie, and we can put it in boxes so that they are safe, and whoever buys it is going to feel safe that we're not just handing out an open container. So please, if you would like to join us and help us to be able to do this ministry, we do have a sign-up sheet up in the lobby here. There's a few people that have already signed up, so please do that. And Dave, we're going to be running, I believe, online as well,
yeah,
so that people that would like to participate, even if you cannot be here physically, you can still send in your bids for whatever item you decide to buy from us. Thank you, and God bless.
Well, thank you, Frank. Just a little update. The way we'll work the online auction is that I will be on Facebook Live on our prayer and announcement channel. I'll be going around showing pictures and explaining if this is a rhubarb pie, or so it's got to be clearly marked, because all I know is a pie unless it's marked, okay? So make sure anything brought in is going to be marked. And I'll be just doing a live and say, hey, we have a rhubarb pie here for $25, and Keith is the one whose name on it. If you want to bid higher, just text me your text me your offer, and we'll just update it that way. So it'll be ongoing. So it'll be fun, it'll be enjoyable, it'll be safe. So that's what we're looking forward to. Okay. All right, that's pretty much, if you look on the back of the bulletin, just keep up for yourself as some of the different things that will be going on. We got a prayer, call to prayer, and that's going to be in a couple of weeks up at the Four Corners in Coldwater. Just make yourself aware of that. You'll see in the bulletin a flyer for that. Also in your bulletin, you're going to see a quarter page on cardstock, an invite for the hog roast. Great opportunity. Bring your friends. You know, they come because of you, not because of the hog. Okay, so it'll be good time. So make sure that you do your invite. All right. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, of all the things we do, nothing is so greater than take the time to pause and quiet our hearts and to come into your very presence. Come in because you have called us and you have welcomed us. You have prepared a way for us to enter your presence. And Father, we come to you this morning. We ask that you will be with us in our presence. When it comes to singing songs and the lifting up our voices to exalt the name of Christ our Savior. When it comes to the pastor as he leads us through your word as a good shepherd. May you place upon our hearts, Lord, what you have placed upon his heart. And may we understand very clearly what your Spirit is saying to your church, to your people, called out of this world to be different, to walk with our Creator. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. It is with great expectation and anticipation that we look forward to this time together around your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This morning, we're going to start out with the song, Holy Spirit. We did this a couple months ago and taught it to you guys. I'm just going to read a verse as soon as I find it here. In John 14, verses 26 through 27, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So let's invite the Holy Spirit here this morning as we praise his name. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let's do that again, Holy Spirit.
And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Back to the chorus, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let us become
of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
One more time.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
One more time through the chorus.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Hopefully that's why you are here this morning. Our next song is Build Your Kingdom Here. We're going to pick up the pace a little bit, so if you could be on your feet with us. I just wanted to read through the chorus of this song once. I think the words are very powerful, and hopefully as we go through it, you can recognize the chorus words. So I'm just going to read through the chorus once. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing it.
One, two, three.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
Let's pick it up just a little bit.
We seek your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives. You are joy and prize to see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Atmosphere, build your kingdom here. voice of hell can stop. Your beauty changing heart, you made us for much more than this. So awake the kingdom, see in us, fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, we are the hope on earth.
One more time.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win our nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom.
And if we're going to be the change that this world needs, we have to have our confidence in God. So let's sing about that confidence.
I'm not a warrior, I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. But Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. 'Cause broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me hope. My giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror 'cause you fight for me. I'll be a champion claiming your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence.
I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the walls. I won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus,
Jesus.
Gonna sing and shout and shake the walls.
Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus.
So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den.
Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence.
Let's go again. Yeah. Give me a faith
like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me a hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart. So I can face my giants with confidence.
So I can
face my giants with confidence. I'll face my giants with confidence.
Amen. You can be seated. Everybody, let's give Luke a nice hand for joining us this morning on the drums. As we sing this last song, just quiet your heart and let God speak to you. And Elena's going to read us a verse about God, the cornerstone.
For no one can lay a foundation other than that is which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11.
Lord, we are so thankful that no matter what storm we're in, you are Lord of all. May we build our lives on you, the cornerstone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. Well done this morning. Appreciate your ministry and music. A couple of housekeeping matters before we get to the message this morning. If you've got a bulletin, pull out a couple of inserts there. I want to just reiterate the summer's end hog roast. I hate to see it end, but it's coming to an end. We're going to celebrate next Sunday. This is a reminder, but it's actually an invitation for you to give to somebody. You'll notice the map on the back. A good opportunity to reach out. We are extending ourselves. We're going to open up the fellowship hall so that we can meet over there for worship as well. So I think we'll have plenty of room. I know we'll have plenty of food. We should have a pretty good sized pig, right, Dale, coming our way. And just need the people. We just need you to join us. And I bet you know somebody who'd come if you'd invite them. Very tentative people, all of us, you know, questioning whether we should get out and what we should do. I can't think of a more important time for the church to be the church. Extend ourselves, reach out, invite people. We'll do our best to keep some social distance and allow people to sit where they feel comfortable. But don't miss out if you would, and consider joining us with a friend or a guest for next Sunday. We'll have a tent set up outside. We'll have some outdoor options, weather permitting, so that we can, be together and enjoy some time and fellowship. Heads up, that's next Sunday. I've got the later flatten the fear statistics on the virus. These are encouraging. This is an organization. I honestly don't know the roots of the organization, but their efforts is just to lower the fear indices in America right now. And just some good updated information on coronavirus. Actually, in many respects, good news that maybe you haven't heard. Possibly not being promoted on the airwaves. So there's a copy of those out in the lobby there if you want to grab one. Also, you've got a prayer invite. How many of you concerned, honestly, about the state of the nation, where we're headed, recent events, last numerous months? I'll tell you the most productive thing you can do. I mean, you can stew and fret. You can complain all you want. But the Bible tells us not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. So you can worry about everything and pray about nothing, or you can worry about nothing and pray about everything. You choose. We've been invited to join with Christians across the county to pray. And I would be, I'm not going to miss it. I would hope that you would consider joining us as well next Sunday afternoon, right after your Sunday afternoon nap at 4 o'clock. If you want to go to the Four Corners in Coldwater, we are going to pray for national concerns, beginning with ourselves and the church and our community and extending to the nation. So very positive and productive thing that we can all do is join with other Christians in prayer. Also want to encourage you to pray for our youth, for the high schoolers, junior, senior high schoolers. They will be meeting at the poll on Wednesday. This is the annual See You at the Poll. Again, I can't think of a more significant thing that kids can do than pray. And they're going to pray for their friends, kids at school. You ask any teacher right now, the stress level is as high as it's ever been. They have less time to do more. It's almost an impossible task, I'm guessing, Lisa, by what you guys are doing there. And they need prayers. They're going to pray for this, for the teachers. They're going to pray for the faculty or staff, administrators. They're going to pray for their nation. And on Wednesday at 7, between 7 and 8 o'clock across the country, thousands and thousands of school kids, junior, senior hires, are going to get together and ask God for help. Would you pray for them? 7:30 on Wednesday morning. I think that's about all the housekeeping I had here. If you have a Bible, you may want to grab it. And you also have in front of you an outline of the message this morning on the inside cover there. As we have been attempting to finish up Book of Acts, the church in action. We saw the church established and now the church extended as we have looked at the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys. And this morning I want to take off of his second missionary journey with an individual that came out of that ministry, not necessarily a church. Next Sunday I'm going to finish up actually with the church at Philippi. I think it'll be a fitting message. I hope it will be for our hog roast, especially for any guests that come. I just quoted a verse from Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. There's a powerful message there. Paul writing from prison. Worst case scenario, he is on death row. And he's writing about joy over and over and over. If you read the book of Philippians, I hope you'll read it with me this week in our spiritual disciplines. He's just reminding them, the Lord is in control. Relax and enjoy yourself. Of all places to be reminded, death row. You got to read the book to get the gist of it. And I hope you'll join us next week as we look at that. But today let's talk about an individual that appears in the book of Acts for the first time. He's someone that you're familiar with because one of the books of the Bible is named after him. 1921, the National Organization of Secondary School Principals took a lead from a college scholastics organization called Phi Beta Sigma. And they themselves started a group in high schools, a movement, a group that started some 100 years ago and continues to this day. The organization, as a hint, goes by the initials NHS. We got any NHS scholars in the room today? I bet we do. Bet you a number of you got that special, what do they call those special things? Tie? Stole, whatever it is. Cords, yep, they give you something special just to show that you earned it. Because you were selected as part of the National Honors Society. They expanded from just scholarship, scholastics, to leadership, the National Honors Society. In fact, they've added some other ingredients, character and service. And so students are recommended and selected from their peers as members of the National Honors Society. Our study in Acts this morning, I think the Apostle Paul inaugurated something similar in his ministry. It was a kind of Christian National Honors Society. On his missionary journeys, he would raise up and call and develop leaders. He would train his colleagues, young and able-bodied helpers, who themselves would become leaders in the ministry. Some more notable than others, but amongst them Barnabas and Silas, Priscilla and Aquila, John, Mark, Apollos, Luke. However, the standout, in my opinion, of that group is a young man by the name of Timothy. Later in his career, unbelievable, I think, Paul would affirm the singularity of this young guy. Philippians chapter 2. Another prison epistle as he's writing about his ministry to the Philippians. He said, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him. He had all kinds of help. He had all kinds of people. But Paul says, there's nobody like Timothy. I have no one else like him, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. If everyone else looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. What a guy. He's a National Honor Society standout. And I think we could learn something from him, something worth imitating in our lives these days as well. Let's just meet Timothy. If you've got your Bible handy there, turn to the book of Acts. He appears there on the second missionary journey. Acts chapter 16, as Paul is entering into the region of Macedonia. Change glasses here so I can see. Verse 1 of chapter 16, he came to Derbe, that is Paul, and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. And Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, that's not typical where a Christian is circumcised. However, occasionally that was the case, so that that believer, a Christian, could enter into Jewish circles. And Paul himself, a Jewish Christian, knew that that would probably be necessary in Timothy's case. And so he is recruited to join the club, the National Honors Society of sorts. And now if you'll turn with me from Acts to the book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Let's refer back to this book as we look at his life and as we consider some of these leadership qualities that Paul was so impressed with. Go over to 1st Timothy. And let's see where he affirms his calling there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 it would be. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Writing now to Timothy, Paul records, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Well, he had a pretty powerful lineage, didn't he? Show of hands here. How many of you had a godly grandmother or grandfather? Keep your hands up if this is true. Who was influential on your own faith? Hey, grandma and grandpa, don't underestimate the influence that you carry with this generation. You are a necessary ingredient in some kid's life. What a powerful person is a grandma or a grandpa and can be. Paul says it was your grandmother Lois, through her influence, your mother Eunice, and now in you, Tim. For this reason, I'm reminded to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says, I called you and we've commissioned you to service. If you're in 2 Timothy 1, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and good conscience. Timothy, we prophesied over you. We commissioned you. We brought you along. We laid our hands on you, and God's gift was given to you so that you could be a colleague of sorts of ours in the ministry. Do you remember that prophecy, that moment? The commissioning. that God gave you, Timothy, as we were with you. He was called and commissioned to service, to be a leader, the National Honors Society of sorts. Their emphasis, as I mentioned earlier, is leadership, but it's also scholarship, scholarship, character, and service. Let's take those three qualities just for a minute and let's accent or highlight those in the life of Timothy, who was himself and became a leader like the Apostle Paul. But it was as a result of a number of those characteristics that we see in him. Now, leadership, let me simply define as influence. I happen to believe that every one of you are leaders in some form or fashion. All of you have influence over others. However, influence can be positive and it can be negative, can it? You can lead people astray, or you can lead them in the right way to go. That's akin to what we call ministry. We have a little ditty that we use here as of 1997. Every member a minister. Did you get that? If you and I are talking out in public and somebody comes along, don't introduce me as your minister. I'm not your minister. I'm just a pastor. Who is the minister? We all are. We all have a ministry. The word ministry, akin to leadership, just has to do with influencing others. The word that I would insert there is service. The greatest of these, Jesus said, will be your servants. As the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for others. That's what leadership is. It's influence. It's serving. It's ministry to others. And I think the National Honor Society has struck on a biblical theme here of scholarship, character, and service in terms of leadership. Those are significant and I think essential for us as Christians. Let's start with the first, scholarship, but let's qualify it as biblical scholarship. Biblical scholarship. If you're in Timothy there, I'm going to have to work on my firsts and seconds here so we don't get confused, because I'm already confusing myself. I don't know about you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to select some verses that fit these three components of leadership from Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul writing to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles," what? The word of truth. Paul calls it a sword in Ephesians. You got to be able to wield that sword. You need to know how to use this. He says, you're a workman, and you need to correctly handle God's truth. The word of God. Same book, 2 Timothy, next chapter, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Actually, let me preempt that in verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and what you've become convinced of, because you know how from whom you've heard it or learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Apparently, Paul did not lead Timothy to faith. Who did? I think Eunice did, or Lois, his grandmother or his mother. From infancy, he had the advantage of being handed the Bible. I've always said we need to be a Bible church. What kind of church would we be without the Bible? And you need to bring your Bible and use your Bible on Sunday mornings. You can tell the good bowlers from the bad bowlers at the bowling alley. You know how you can tell? The guys that bring their own balls in their own bag, those guys are good. The rest of us go over to the rack, trying to get our fingers in one of those that's going to fit. We did some bowling down in South Carolina when we were on vacation this summer. It was real fun to go out with cousins and bowl. But they were short. I'm not sure why they were short. I think they had to clean every ball that they used, you know, squirt them down and stuff. And so they didn't have any fresh balls when we got there. They gave us, the guys got one ball, the gals got another ball. And the finger holes were so small on that ball. Every time I threw that ball down the lane, you'd hear a pop, you know. My finger was popped out through my arm out of joint because it was sticking into the holes in the ball. That tells you something about what kind of bowler I am, doesn't it? Same thing's true on the golf course. The good golfers, the rest of us go in there and say, you got any clubs, you know, something I can borrow? Or just give me a 5, a 2, a 1, a, you know, whatever. We'll use what we got. The Word of God. The advantage of having this book in your hands. Don't underestimate the thousands, perhaps millions of people who have given their lives so that you and I could have available to us generation after generation have handed it on, the Word of God. Timothy said, you're one of those advantaged. You got it from early on. And so the verse there, 16, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is, I remember that word from Greek class, weophasis. It's breathed of God. It's, another translation says, inspired. And is useful, notice, for four things. This is what this book can do in your life. For teaching, instruct you. For rebuking, admonish you, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Teaching, it's like learning the rules of a game. But then rebuking, it's the whistleblow of the referee. Hang on, out of bounds. But that doesn't finish the game. He takes the ball, it brings it back into center court. Okay, let's start over. He reorganizes, it rebukes, but it also corrects. It gets us back on track. And it trains us in righteousness. It skills us. You're skilled. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's God's intent in giving you this book. That's the advantage you have. What's required is biblical scholarship. It's to invest yourself and invest myself in learning this book. I've gotten three good words of advice in my lifetime. I'm sure I've gotten a lot more than that, but I remember three in particular. The first was the advice of somebody that said, you better marry that girl or I'm going to. But I remember back as a young guy, 17 years of age, straight south of here, about 5 miles down at Lake Luther Bible Camp. And I brought my Bible to camp that summer. I was a junior counselor, means I was a dishwasher, right, a gopher. And my senior counselor, the guy that I worked with that summer, was a guy named Scott Detmer. And Scott's Bible was tattered and worn. It had marks all over it and written. My Bible, the pages were sticking together. I mean, it was fresh and sweet. I had it on the shelf where I keep it, you know, keep an eye on it since I was a kid. And I realized immediately that this guy read his Bible, and I didn't. And so Scott's word of advice to me as a young guy was, BJ, he called me BJ, I'll tell you why later, but BJ, he said, you got to get into the Word. You got to get into the Word, BJ. You got to get into the Word. And he challenged me during my 1 hour break. I'll tell you what, I think the Catholic theology is right. There is a purgatory. Purgatory is junior high camp when you're working with a bunch of rowdy junior high kids. We had 1 hour break a day. I had all kinds of ideas of how I was going to spend that time. And Scott challenged me. He says, I challenge you to take your break and read your Bible. for the summer. Start in the book of Matthew. 17-year-old guy. I took the challenge. I started reading the Bible. And 40-some years later, I'm still reading it every day. You got to get into the Word, BJ. When I was in South America the first time, 1983, traveling mostly in Argentina, spent some time in Bolivia and Ecuador, but I had a chance to cross the river in Argentina, the Parana River, to visit Uruguay. And the missionary's father, the guy that I was spending the summer with, his father worked in Uruguay as a missionary, Ned Collingridge. And I spent a week with Ned, just shadowing him, seeing what he did, hanging out, just an outstanding guy, elderly man at this point. And at the end of the week, as I was getting ready to take the boat across the channel and back to Buenos Aires, I asked Ned on the trip down to the shores of the sea there, I said, Ned, what kind of advice could you give a young guy like me, just getting started in the ministry, 21 years of age, as far as ministry? Man, I expected a mini sermon. I mean, pastors love that. You know, you come ask a pastor a question and he'll give you a half hour sermon on the spot. That's what I expected. One sentence. Become a student of the Word for life. You want to be a ministry? You want to serve? You want to make a difference in the world? Biblical scholarship. Become a student of the Word for life. Have a good trip. It's one of the last times I saw Ned Collingridge, but I've never forgotten his advice. The Word of God, it's living and active. It's like a two-edged sword, we're told in Hebrews. Powerful. By God's Word, everything has come into being. He sustains the universe. We saw this last week with Christ. Remember? By his powerful word. Man does not live by bread alone. Doesn't matter where you eat lunch today. You know what sustains your life? It's the word of God. And so Paul tells Timothy, do your best to present yourself as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed because he handles correctly the sword, the word of God. Components of biblical or spiritual leadership, biblical scholarship. How about Christian character? Let's follow the NHS rule there. Christian character. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Back over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And there in verse 12. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. Now, their culture was different from our culture in the sense that old age was the advantage. And in our day, it's youth who holds the advantage. And so Paul told him in that culture, don't let people look down on just because you're young. Says, how do you convince a phony culture that God is alive? By his aliveness in your life. Outlive them. Outlive them. Look what he tells them. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. In speech, that's verbal. In life, occupational. In love, that's relational. In faith, that's spiritual. In purity, that's moral. In every respect, you be an example, Timothy. Your life exemplifies your message. It will convince people of what you say is true. Your character, exemplary. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you're there, verse 7. I think you could summarize those five with this verse. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For those of you who are going to the gym this week, verse 8. For physical training is of some value. Hey, that's okay. It's going to do you good. But godliness has value for all things. It relates to everything, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Godliness, Timothy, is where it's at. Train yourself in godliness. How about chapter 6, verse 6? But godliness with contentment is great gain. In context here, he's talking about those who thought they could make money through being godly, religion, so to speak. They see godliness as a means to financial gain, verse 5. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You are wealthy if you are godly and contented. Timothy, same chapter there, verse 11 and 12. But you, man of God, flee from all this. He's talking again about the love of money and its root of all evil. And pursue righteousness, notice the second word, godliness. Go after it, along with faith and love, endurance and gentleness. Character is everything. Godliness, in terms of spiritual leadership. Let's look at a third one there that we pick up from NHS. Leadership, scholarship, character, and service. I'm going to typify this as gifted service, because I think God has gifted you and he's gifted me to do something specific, to function, as he explains it in the Bible, within the context of relationships with other Christians, the church, his body, the body of believers. Gifted service. 2 Timothy, this time, chapter 1. Alluded to this verse a second ago. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. It's good to know, isn't it? Because we tend to be timid from time to time. Apparently, Timothy did. But he's given us a spirit of what? Of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Fan into flame your gift. You know how to do that, don't you? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Yeah, well, sometimes the wind blows or it rains and it goes out on you. And you're sitting there trying to keep that thing going. I always make the mistake of waiting too long to start the fire for the barbecue when somebody's coming over. Ask my wife. Got to get a flamethrower out to get that thing burning hot enough to get the burgers on. People are standing around waiting, and I'm there trying to get it to flame up. Fan into flame. Come on. Get it to flame up. Timothy, it's in there. Fire up your gift, because God wants to use you in his service. I like the way Peter says it in 1 Peter 4. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. God has gifted you, but it's not for you. What's the gift for? It's for somebody else. He wants to use you as a channel of his blessing in somebody's life. And if you don't exercise your gift, if you don't develop and exercise it, guess what? Somebody else loses out because of it. That's the way he's designed the body, the Christian life, to operate in his church. We're to serve one another with the gifts that he has given us. Gifted service. Again, our ditty from way back when, every member a minister. Because I believe every one of you is gifted by God to serve in some form or fashion. And your assignment and mine is to discover and develop that gift and employ it on behalf of others. And so the question, how do we do that in terms of leadership development? I want to surprise you this morning. I think we need to fatten people up. I think we're too skinny, spiritually speaking. We need fat Christians. Anybody feel uncomfortable about now? You're in the right church? Hey, we got a little linger longer afterwards. Lots of fattening foods next door. I hope you'll stick around for a few. But I'm going to use the acronym FAT. Don't be offended by this, please. F-A-T. Faithful, available, and teachable. Those are the raw materials that God wants to take and develop in you and I. Check yourself on those three. Faithful is a sincere, genuine trust in Jesus Christ. Is that you? You qualify for leadership, the NHS group. Available. It's the willingness to take the time necessary to grow and develop your faith, to prioritize that element of your life. Here's where we lose people typically in churches, because our culture has people so super saturated with activity, they don't have time or energy to anything else. I feel sorry for many of you, or some of you, because you're spinning so many plates. And guess what? The church becomes one more plate that you have to spin. And I want to be the last person to do that to you. Years ago, a gal came to me. She said, you know, I'd really like to attend your church. She says, but I'm working 6 days a week. I'm a single mom and I've got kids. And she said, Sunday morning is the only morning I have to sleep in. What would you advise her to do? I said, then you need to sleep in. It really should be a day of rest. And find a church that meets on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and see if they've got a kids program and plug in there. It's unfortunate, but it's true, isn't it? That if the devil can't make you immoral, he'll make you busy. He'll overextend you and me so that we just don't have time or energy for what ultimately counts the most, the kingdom of God. What should be sought first, Jesus said, becomes fourth or fifth or 14th or 15th too easily. So in terms of fat, you may be faithful. Are you available? I'm going to say that depends on you and your priorities, what you think is really important. And then thirdly, teachable, a person who is leadership quality has to be open-minded to spiritual things, a desire to learn. And with that, I think you've got someone who has great potential. Let me give you one more verse from Timothy and we'll wrap up here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And actually, verse 2 is the verse that, to me, says this. The things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men. Another translation says, to faithful men. It's the F there from their acronym. Who will also be qualified to teach others. You know, there's four generations in that verse. Can you find them? There's Paul, who's writing to his second-generation disciple, Timothy. But he's telling Timothy to do what? To take what he's learned and to entrust it to reliable men. That's the third generation, faithful, reliable people, fat people. But there's a fourth generation, do you see it? Who will be qualified, my version says, able to teach others. It's good to see Miriam. She, an Argentine gal, was with her husband David, the Trotts, working in Bolivia at the present. Missionaries of our church here a couple of weeks ago. Some of you were here when they were. What a neat gal. I had the opportunity to work with her in Tucumán, Argentina for 5 years. She was in the ministry because their university stint is 5 years. She was in the pre-med medical program, graduated as a doctor. But during that time, working with Miriam, she worked with a gal named Ellie Rueda. And Ellie was a Bolivian gal who'd come to study in Tucumán nursing in Argentina there. And as a result, she got her nursing degree. But she got a lot more than that. She was discipled and developed as a leader. And God called Ellie to Africa. And Ellie Reitha from Africa has a ministry, an outreach with women, African women in Angola, Africa. She's got a great thing going. All kinds of African gals who are blessed by Ellie Reitha, who was blessed by Miriam Palacios, who was someone that I had a chance to work with in the years that I was in Argentina. One, two, three, four generations. Paul says, if we do it right, the generations will come naturally. The impact of your life will outlive you and those who follow in your train. For generation to generation, developing leaders, as Paul tells us we ought to. Timothy is the example of that. Let me ask you as we finish up this morning, like Timothy, do you aspire to Christian leadership? Remember, I suggested that leadership is influence. Do you want to influence people for good? You want to make a difference with your life? I think you do. Are you committed to the NHS principles, leadership, scholarship, character, service? I think those are very biblical. I've suggested that in Timothy's life itself. How do we begin? Well, you got to fatten up. Check yourself. Am I faithful to God? Am I available to serve? Am I willing to learn? If that's true of you, that's true of us, boy, we've got potential. We could be the kind of church where every member is a minister. Everyone serves for the glory of God. Melissa, why don't you come on up this morning? I'd like to ask you to consider just where you're at today and maybe affirm what God is saying to you. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to move us from this place out into the day, off into the week, wherever he would lead us. But let's ask him if he would to affirm, like Paul said, to fan into flame the gift that he's given each of us so that we're better able to lead, to serve in the same league as Timothy. Wonder if you could say these four things. God, I'll be what you want me to be. God, I'll say what you want me to say. God, I'll do what you want me to do. And God, I'll go where you want me to go. Just where you're seated this morning, is that something you could say to him? Lord, I'm yours. I'm willing. I'm not much. But if you can use me, just like Paul recruited Timothy and developed him into an outstanding leader. He said, I have no one like Timothy who takes a genuine interest in your well-being. It's the kind of person he wants us to become as well. Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. In your own heart this morning, is that true? If it is, why don't you tell him? Whatever you want me to be, I'll be that. I'll say what you want me to say. If that's true, even though that may be a little scary, you're willing to speak up. Why don't you affirm that and say, Lord, with your help, I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. Not sure exactly what that means, Lord, but if you'll show me, I'll do it. And I'll go where you want me to go. Don't know where that is? You do. I can trust you to pilot my life. Lead me and I'll go. Fan into flame the gift of God in your life. Let's sing that simple chorus, Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God,
fall afresh,
fall afresh on me,
Spirit.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on
me. Give him permission now. Melt me. Just stand with me. We'll close one more time.
Spirit of the Living God,
make it your prayer.
Fall fresh on me,
Spirit.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.
Melt me. Be what you want me to be. Maybe like Timothy, you want me to be an example in speech, life, love, and faith and purity. Lord, I'll say what you want me to say, to speak up, to reach out. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning as we consider Paul's ministry and Timothy's life and the way that you developed someone who was a biblical scholar, who is a Christian character, gifted servant, spiritual leader. Work with us, Lord. May we be like him, faithful and available and teachable, so that we can love, honor, and serve you in our generation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hey, God bless you this morning. I hope you'll stick around for a cup of coffee next door there, maybe a chance to visit. Bring somebody next week, and we'll see you here. We've got a great morning plan. You're dismissed.